Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And the last two verses of the chapter. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our subject this evening is the perseverance of the saints. We come to consider the last of the 5 points of Calvinism this evening, and we shall have one more study in doctrinal things next week, but this is our final look at these 5 points, the doctrines of grace as they are commonly known. And this is, of course, the P of the tulip, the perseverance of the saints. The other four, just to recap, and perhaps I'll spend a little time just going over these because it's been a while since we last considered them. But the T was total depravity, and that was the teaching that man in his natural state, well, he is born a rebel against God. He is spiritually dead in his trespasses and sins. He does not want God. He does not desire God, does not esteem God, couldn't care less about God, and cannot please God in any way. That's our state naturally, the way that we are born into this world. And sadly, if we remain in that state, well, we are heading for a lost eternity. The only way for the natural man to come to the Lord, to come to repentance and faith, is if God works in him first. He cannot come in and of himself. He is dead, spiritually dead. He has no desire to do so. So God must work in him and give him that faith. It is a gift of God. But God will only give that gift of faith and repentance. He will only give it to a chosen people. A chosen people, and that brings us to the second point of unconditional election, the U of the tulip. God has chosen a people from before the foundation of the world to be the elect, to be those who are saved. He has chosen them. And he has chosen them, as you recall, not because of anything good in themselves. God did not look into the future and see that some people would be good and some people would be bad, or some people would accept him and some people would not accept him. He didn't see that. And in fact, when God looked into the future, he saw that nobody would accept him. Nobody would desire him, so he has to choose himself. That's the only way anybody can be saved. God has chosen an elect, a chosen people, and it is not because of anything in us. It is a choice that he has made according to his own will. And this chosen people, well, they are marked out to be saved. They are predestinated. That is their destiny. They will most surely come to repentance and faith. And then we have the L, the limited atonement, the L of tulip. And that is that the benefits of Christ's death is not for the whole world, not for all men, but only for the elect. The whole world, of course, will not be saved by Christ's death. The number is limited. It's a limited atonement. It's limited to God's elect, to those whom God has chosen before the foundation of the world. And then we had the I, which was our last look at the doctrines of grace, the I, which was irresistible grace. And remember, we spoke about those two calls, the preaching of the word of God, which the preacher gives. When I stand up and give a message, will I preach and urge people to come to repentance? That's one call. But then there's the second call, the irresistible call, which must be in place if anyone is to come to God. That call of the Holy Spirit, as it were. The work of the Holy Spirit must accompany the general call, must accompany the preaching of the word of God. And by the way, it's not just the preaching of the word, it's the reading of the word of God. When I think of my own testimony, well, I was saved through reading the word of God, not through the preaching. I had read the word of God, of course, many times before, but I had never had that second call accompanying it. I had read the word of God, understood it. I had read what the word was calling me to do, but I needed that second call, the work of the Holy Spirit within. And it was only when that call was there that I came to repentance and faith. So there is that irresistible call that we need. The preaching of the word of God by a man, that can be resisted. But the irresistible work of grace cannot be resisted. It is always successful within the hearts of the elect. Irresistible grace will most surely bring one to repentance. But now we come to the perseverance of the saints, or the preservation of the saints, as it is sometimes called, and we will perhaps consider that a little later. But the perseverance of the saints, the P of Tulip, well, this is the doctrine that essentially teaches us that once we are saved, if we are truly saved, once we are saved, we shall be always saved. We will never fall from grace. Once we repent, once we are born again, well, then God never lets us go. We can never fall. We can never cease to be a Christian once we are saved. We are kept to the very end. Nothing can separate us from God. And this is what is communicated to us in these last two verses of Romans chapter 8. For I am persuaded, says the Apostle Paul, that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Apostle Paul is saved. He is a born-again believer, and so he knows, he is persuaded, that nothing can separate him now from God. Not death, nothing in his life, no matter what calamity comes into his life, that won't separate him. Spiritual enemies, angels, even angels in heaven, or those fallen angels, Satan and his hordes, cannot separate him from God. Nor things present, nor things to come, nothing in time, nor height, nor depth, nothing in space, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is security for a believer, eternal security. And we thank the Lord that these things are so. Once we are saved, we shall persevere to the end. We will continue in our faith. We will not turn back, and we will not fall away. Now, this doesn't mean that once we are saved, Christians will be perfect, that they will live perfect Christian lives, and that is how they will not fall away. That's not what this doctrine means. Believers, they can fall into temptation. Believers can fall into sin, even very great sin. We think particularly, as always, of King David and his sin of adultery. Believers can fall into great sin. Believers can even have times, even years of backsliding when they never come to church and they neglect prayer, and perhaps they only very infrequently read the Word of God. But they never lose their faith. They never lose that faith that Christ has died for them. If they fall away for a time, they will always come back. They'll always be brought back to the Lord. They'll never fall away entirely. Perhaps their Christian lives won't be perfect, but they will always be brought back to the Lord, and their faith will be kept and protected. They will always believe. That is what is so important. Remember, those of you who are with us this morning, what we must do to be saved? Well, there's nothing really we can do. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is how we are saved. Well, it's the same way when we are kept. How are we kept from falling? We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our performance may be under par, but our faith remains, and we can never fall from that blessed state that the Lord has blessed us with. Now, of course, this is a comfort and an encouragement for believers and for seekers. For believers, of course, well, I've already mentioned it really, but no matter how far we fall, we know that we are kept. This is one of the reasons why we ask believers to write testimonies of the time when they were saved, because that will be a great comfort to them throughout their Christian lives. In every Christian life, there will be times of great darkness and great failure and great temptation to think, I'm not really saved. I've never really been saved. The devil will come alongside us and say, you're a complete failure. You were never really a child of God. Well, you look at your testimony, you read your testimony, and you remember that you were truly saved. There was that day when you truly believed, when you were truly changed, when you passed from death to life, and you believed that Christ, he did die on the cross for my sin. And when you read that, well, if you were saved then, if you were saved then, you will always be saved. You will always be saved, because we cannot fall from grace. That testimony will help you. We know that he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if the Lord has begun that good work in you, he will keep you until the very end. So this is a great comfort. It's a comforting doctrine for believers and also for seekers, we have to say. It's encouragement to seekers, because very often, and I think I had this when I was seeking after the Lord, some people will say to themselves, well, I would like to be a Christian. I would like to give my life to the Lord, but I'd be an utter failure. I'd give my life to God, and then maybe two or three weeks down the line, well, I'll do something terrible, and then I'll be a failure. I won't be a Christian anymore. Well, that is not how it works, of course. If you truly give your life to Christ, well, he will keep you till the very end. Even if you sin, even if you fall apart very early in your Christian life, if you've truly yielded your life to the Lord and trusted in him for salvation, trusted that his blood has made atonement for your sin, he will keep you. When Christ died, he died for all your sins, past, present, and future. Even your future sins, they're all done away with. You cannot cease from being a Christian. And so we read these things in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. If there has been that conversion in your life, if you know you've been called, if you know you've been saved, well, then you are also glorified. You are as good as in heaven already. And so you cannot fall. So don't worry about being a failure in your Christian life. You give your life to the Lord, and he will keep you and bless you. You cannot fall. But some people will say, concerning this doctrine, what about those who fall away from the faith? Many people, in the media and so on, you get some people who go onto these talk shows and they're quite anti-Christian, and they claim that they were once Christians, but now they're not Christians anymore. They're former Christians. This person used to be a Christian, but now they no longer are. And you think to yourself, well, if we cannot fall from grace, if God keeps us to the very end, how come there are these former Christians lurking everywhere? Well, if you ever see someone who says that they're a former Christian and now has turned away from the faith, the great likelihood is that they were never truly saved in the first place. They were never truly saved in the first place. They were never called by God. They never had the work of the Holy Spirit in them. Perhaps they only heard the preacher. That's the only voice they've ever heard. And maybe they agreed with it. They liked the doctrines. They liked the teaching. They liked the gospel message. But they never had that irresistible work of grace in their souls, in their spirits. And so therefore, they fell away. They managed for a time, but then they fell away. And well, this is a great tragedy. That is the evidence that they were never the elect. The evidence that they were never chosen is that they fell away at the very end. But if you persevere to the very end, well, that is the evidence that you are chosen. That's the evidence that you are chosen if you persevere to the very end. That's the difference, and this is borne out in Scripture. Now, if I can turn you to some verses just to help us understand these things, to the letter of James, chapter 1. The letter of James, chapter 1. And verse 12, James chapter 1 and verse 12, we read these words: blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, this is someone who perseveres to the very end. Blessed is that man who perseveres, that endureth temptation, who does not fall away. This is evidence that he is truly a child of God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, we don't need to turn to it, but the Lord says that there will no temptation or no trial come into our lives that we cannot cope with. Every temptation that comes into our lives, we will be able to bear. It will not cause us to fall away. It will not cause us to lose faith. That will never happen. God is faithful, and he will not suffer us to be tempted above that we are able. So we will endure to the very end. And blessed is that man, therefore, that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. When we persevere, we are given that crown of life. Nothing can throw us off track. And then if you look just a few pages further on to 1 John and chapter 2, which was our scripture reading earlier, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19, well, this will help us distinguish between those who say they are former Christians and those who persevere to the end. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. This is speaking of those who have fallen away. Even in the early church, there were people who professed faith, and yet they fell away. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They didn't have that work of irresistible grace in them. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. If they had been the true children of God, if they had been the chosen, they would have continued. They would have persevered to the very end, the perseverance of the saints. But they didn't. They fell away because they were never truly saved in the first place. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And there you have it at the very end of the verse. The fact that they have fallen away, that is the proof that they were never truly saved in the first place. That's the proof. They never truly repented. They never had the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And well, we could continue in this chapter. So many things that speak to us about continuing in the faith as the saints do. Verse 24, let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Those who continue with the Lord, they are the true children of God who persevere. That's the characteristic of God's true children. And then at the very end, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, well, then it will be very clear who the children of God are and who are not. It may be the case, sometimes this happens, that nominal believers, well, they can continue all their lives. They can continue all their lives in this life. People who are never truly born again believers, they can appear to be believers throughout their whole lives, be present in a church, serve in a church, say all the right things. They can last to the very end of their days, and everyone thinks that they're true believers, but they won't get away with it. They haven't fooled anybody. At the very end, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, well, then it will be revealed. Then it will be revealed that they never actually knew the Lord. They never had that personal relationship with him, the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, they may well go on to the end of their lives, but will they persevere into eternity, be preserved into eternity? No, there will be an end for them. And so this is what this verse 28 alludes to. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. We persevere in true and sincere faith. That is the fundamental characteristic of those saints. They persevere and they continue. But again, we have to say, as we begin to draw to an end, the only reason, again, that true believers can persevere, can continue to the very end, is because God preserves them. It's God's strength, of course. It's not our own strength. And well, there are two verses in the letter of Jude, just before the book of Revelation, that explained these things to us so wonderfully. So if you turn to Jude and verse 1, there are no chapters in Jude, of course. Jude and verse 1, we'll look at the very beginning of this letter and the very end. But verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. The only reason that the saints of God, true Christian people, can persevere to the very end of their lives is because they're in Christ. The only reason they can persevere is because Christ persevered. The only reason they can succeed in their Christian lives is because Christ succeeded. Christ succeeded in living that perfect life of righteousness. Christ succeeded on the cross in making full atonement for our sin. If he didn't succeed, none of us would succeed. We're preserved in Christ Jesus, preserved in him. So this is why we read here, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ. He is the reason we are kept to the very end. And then at the very end of the epistle, looking at verse 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. Amen. Well, here we have it. It is God who is able to keep us from falling. We haven't been able to keep ourselves from falling. It's only God. God's keeping power. And to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. This is a tremendous doctrine. God will keep us from falling. We cannot fall away. And what a tremendous thought this is. Young people, and I know that there are some young people who are truly saved, who are truly born again. What a tremendous thought that you will never fall away from the Lord. Never, ever. No matter what happens in your life, you have absolutely nothing to fear. You will continue with the Lord through all the rest of your days, no matter how long you live. And we pray that you live very long lives. All throughout your life and into eternity, you will never be without God. If you've truly repented, if you've truly turned away from your sin and you love God, God will be your portion forever. What a tremendous thought. What encouragement that gives. What strength that gives. You cannot fall. I was in Plymouth last week at staying in a bed and breakfast. And many of these bed and breakfasts, they always put up slogans to cheer you up when you go down to breakfast and so on. And one of the slogans that was in the breakfast hall was, what would you do in your life if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you do? Imagine what you could do if you knew you couldn't fail. Well, this is how we ought to approach the Christian life. What are you going to do in your Christian life, knowing you can never fall from grace? Knowing that God will keep you to the very end, knowing you cannot fail? Well, wouldn't you excel? Wouldn't that give you freedom to do your very best? Knowing that whatever happens, God will keep you underneath the everlasting arms. All those who are young people, this is my exhortation to you. Excel in the Christian life, because the Christian life will be your portion forever and ever. There's almost no point in you sinning. There's absolutely no point Because God is with you forever. Leave all the sins of this world behind. God is your portion now. You've chosen him. He will be with you forever. This is what this doctrine encourages. Tremendous faith, victory over sin. May the Lord help us, each one, to walk with him. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for the comfort that this doctrine brings. O Lord, we think of ourselves, we who are mature believers. And Lord, we know that we have gone through dark and difficult passages in our lives. We may even be going through them now. But Lord, we know that we cannot fail. We cannot fall from grace. Thou art ever with us. Thou shalt preserve us to the end and into eternity, into that heavenly glory. O Lord, we thank thee that these things are ours in Christ. But O Lord, we do pray for those who do not know these things. What a tragedy that they may reject such glorious things and live for themselves. O Lord, this is foolishness. It is insanity. O Lord, may they choose Christ. May they be, O Lord, the apple of thine eye. May they know that blessed love, that everlasting love, and may they know thy guidance and thy leadership in their lives. O Lord, we thank thee for all these tremendous doctrines, and we ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.